SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to Thursday, live on the morning after on Sports Grid and Sirius XM Channel 159, the home for Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM, all across the Sports Grid network as well. I am Ben Stevens. Thank you for joining us here on this Thursday, the final day in the month of June. And when we get to these summer months, you might think it slows down in the sports world. It does not. Not here on a jam-packed Thursday on TMA. We'll go all across the sports landscape, a deep dive into Major League Baseball, and on this Thursday, officially at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, NBA free agency and the frenzy we can expect begins. Huge news already happening yesterday, deals in place, and players with player options for this upcoming season making some very interesting decisions as well. We'll talk about it all as it pertains to the association. Wimbledon continues on. The men's bracket is nuts right now. Rafael Nadal plays in just a couple of minutes, starting on center court in less than an hour at the All England Club in London. So we'll break down all of that as well. But we begin in Major League Baseball. Shohei Day. Shohei Ohtani on the bump last night for the Los Angeles Angels in Anaheim, taking on the Chicago White Sox. And normally when Shohei is doing cool stuff, it doesn't really matter for the Angels score, but yesterday it results in a 4-1 victory for the Halos. Shohei Ohtani on the mound yesterday, 5 2/3 of scoreless baseball, only giving up 5 hits against the White Sox, but where it really counted, the strikeout counter. 11 Ks for Shohei yesterday against the Chicago White Sox. He entered the game, as you can see, in just a couple of moments with a strikeout prop of just 6.5. And look at where the juice was on the under of that 6.5 number. Shohei finishes with 11. He is now 7-4 this year with a 2.68 ERA on the mound. And this is not the last time that Shohei Ohtani has thrown for double-digit strikeouts, or it won't be the last time. It's certainly not the first either. 2 straight starts now where he has gone over 10 strikeouts. 11 yesterday against the Southsiders, 13 in his most recent start last week against the Kansas City Royals. To throw at least 10 strikeouts yesterday for Shohei Ohtani on the FanDuel Sportsbook, tons of plus money. Plus 800. That's what happens when you have a 6.5K prop with the under juiced. So Shohei Ohtani continuing to fill up the strike zone. 11 strikeouts against the Chicago team that entered yesterday with the 6th lowest K rate against right-handed pitching in all of Major League Baseball. Shohei actually has 101 strikeouts in total this year, the 8th most in all of the major leagues. It's the 7th highest K per 9 rate in all of Major League Baseball for pitchers that qualify with at least 30 innings thrown on the bump. So a 4-1 victory for Los Angeles over Chicago. Both teams, though, remain 4 games below 500. Slightly disappointing to begin this year in Major League Baseball, or maybe slightly is too kind. Very disappointing to begin this year in MLB action. However, the Halos have won 3 of their last 4. They take this series against the White Sox, where Chicago now finds themselves 6 games back of the Minnesota Twins for that top spot in the American League Central Division. A minus 48 run differential for Chicago, the 4th worst in all of the American League. So the White Sox trying to figure it out. Shohei Ohtani striking out 11 of them yesterday in 5 2/3 for a 4-1 Angels victory. A welcome to our Sports Grid Radio audience here, the opening hour of the morning after, live on this Thursday, all across the grid in Sirius XM channel 159. A welcome to our radio terrestrial affiliates as well. Thank you for joining us here. I am Ben Stevens. So Shohei Ohtani with another gem on the bump. 2 straight starts now where he has combined for 24 Ks. Yet despite that performance yesterday on the bump, hitless at the dish, we showed you some of the props to hit a home run, to record an RBI. None of that happens for Shohei yesterday, but he moves back slightly despite the great pitching performance in the American League MVP race. Still the second best odds, but was plus 260 entering his start yesterday. Just 10 cents of movement against Shohei. Now at plus 270. The reason why? Aaron Judge becomes a minus money odds on favorite to win your American League Most Valuable Player once again. Judge now at minus 125. Was even money plus 100 yesterday. Entering the Yankees series finale at home. Day baseball up in the Bronx against the Oakland Athletics. Aaron Judge in that game hitting a two-run home run in the bottom of the first inning. The Yankees winning 5-3 for a sweep of Oakland for their 56th win of this Major League Baseball season. That's 9 better than anybody else across all of the bigs. 56 wins for the Pinstripes. And what was so fascinating yesterday, it was actually the A's that scored 3 runs in the top of the first off Jameson Taillon. The Yankees entered yesterday a minus 300 money line favorite, a $3 favorite on that money line. They go down 3-0 in the top of that first inning. By the time they step up for their first at-bats, they're minus 106 on that money line, a much better price. I jumped in on that number just out of precedent and principle to back the Yankees, their 24th comeback victory of the year. A 2-run home run for Aaron Judge. Giancarlo Stanton hits his 19th home run of the season as well. In the third inning, a 3-run bomb that turns out to be the game winner. By the way, Giancarlo Stanton, I said 19 in total. He has hit a home run in 5 of the last 6 games for the Yankees. So another win for New York, who starts a huge series in Houston this weekend. We continue going around the Diamond Dash in Major League Baseball up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on a Thursday live on the morning after on Sports Grid, Sirius XM, channel 159 as well. I am Ben Stevens. As we do the Diamond Dash, going through Major League Baseball, a recap of yesterday to set up a huge weekend that really begins for your holiday weekend today. Huge divisional showdowns. Pennant chases will certainly be in the front of mind for this upcoming weekend in MLB action. But first, we look back on yesterday, the Dodgers against the Colorado Rockies, another divisional duel where, for whatever reason this year, when LA has played Colorado, things have not gone all that well for the team that wears blue. But Dodgers yesterday getting a win over the Rockies in Denver. Both of the series between these two teams in Colorado so far to begin this year inside Coors Field, the Dodgers jump out to an early lead against the Rockies, scoring 4 runs in the first 2 innings and hold on for an 8-4 victory. 6 games now, 2 series in total against Colorado for Los Angeles, and this just their second win of the year, 2 of 6 in favor of LA. The Rockies taking the other 4, so LA has dropped both series in Coors Field against the Rockies. But it got started early for the Dodgers. Freddie Freeman hitting a 446-foot home run to get the scoring going in this game, which, of course, inside Coors Field, at altitude, it makes sense. And there has been tons of conversation around Freddie Freeman and the Dodgers and the Braves in the last 5 days or so. Freddie Freeman, of course, and Los Angeles in Atlanta this past weekend. Freeman, very emotional, started and played all of his career with the Braves, winning a World Series championship last year. And there was some conversation that Freddie Freeman was unhappy with his representation in its negotiations that led him to a big contract in Los Angeles. Firing that representation right now is self-represented. And there was some reporting from Doug Gottlieb, who's a college basketball mind, a radio talk show host, not an MLB insider, that apparently Freddie Freeman's former agent did not let him know of Atlanta's final counteroffer, which Freddie would have taken, apparently, had he known of that money. They have come out and rebuked a lot of that conversation, but tons of that conversation around Freddie Freeman right now and just exactly how happy he is in Los Angeles, we'll await and see. Yesterday, at least, hitting a big home run for the Dodgers. Again, an 8-4 for victory. Also want to mention Trey Turner, a 2 RBI double in the top of that second inning. Trey Turner in the month of June, the Dodgers played 25 games, or at least Trey Turner was involved in 25 of LA's games. He recorded a hit in 22 of those 25. 8 of those 22 games were multiple hits for Trey Turner. So a great, great month of June for a guy that's batting well above 300. An 8-4 victory for Los Angeles. We continue going through the National League West. Another divisional showdown between the Padres and the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Padres just trying to avoid a sweep in the desert against Arizona. They do that yesterday, shutting out the D-backs with a 4-0 victory. Mike Clevinger back, healthy, looking really, really good. 89 pitches yesterday, 6 innings of work, shutout baseball, only giving up 1 hit to Arizona. The D-backs only recording 3 hits in total yesterday. Also had 6 strikeouts for Clevinger. San Diego had entered yesterday's game losing 3 straight, had dropped 4 of their last 5. Now it sets up that huge weekend series that I was alluding to in Los Angeles against the Dodgers. Just the second series between these two this year. Los Angeles taking 2 of 3, winning that series at the end of April, the first meeting between these two. And LA right now a 1.5 game lead over San Diego for that top spot in the National League West. We'll look at the National League pennant race here in just a moment. But we need to continue to highlight what Sandy Alcantara is doing through this first half of the Major League Baseball season. Your NL Cy Young favorite, and those odds only getting better after yesterday's performance. 117 pitches for Sandy in a 4-3 win over St. Louis. Another complete game for a guy that just continues to eat up innings. 9 innings of work, of course, in that complete game. 7 hits to the Cardinals, 2 earned runs allowed, 3 strikeouts against the Redbirds. 117 pitches for a guy that is now 8-3 this year with a 1.95 ERA. 1.95 ERA. I don't want to make it seem like Sandy Alcantara has a 9 ERA. 8-3 this year, 1.95 ERA. Sandy Alcantara has thrown 100 or more pitches in 8 of his last 9 starts for the Marlins. The one time he didn't go over 100, he finished with 96. His third complete game of the year as the Marlins avoid the sweep against the St. Louis Cardinals. The Cardinals, by the way, 1.5 games back now of the Brewers for that top spot in the National League Central. All of that leading to the National League pennant race. The Dodgers remain the favorites. We haven't seen any movement in this market really over the last week and a half or so. The Dodgers plus 220 as your NL pennant favorites. The Mets $1.30 behind at plus 350. By the way, New York dropping their second straight game in this 2-game set against the Houston Astros. 4 in total against the Astros in the last 2 weeks. Houston winning all 4 of those matchups. So slightly disappointing for the Mets against the best competition, but New York still has the most wins in all of the National League, 47 in total. The Dodgers the second most at 46, but it's LA now with a slightly better win percentage, 0.622 over the Mets that are at 0.615, I believe. So the Dodgers the best winning percentage in the National League at the moment and your favorites to win the pennant at plus 220. So that's how things look in the National League as we get into your holiday weekend for July 4th. Let's flip it over to the American League. Big things happening in the AL Central. It's the 8th meeting in the last 2 weeks coming up today between the teams battling it out for the top spot in the AL Central right now, the Minnesota Twins and the Cleveland Guardians. And what an electric ending it was yesterday in Cleveland. The Guardians walking it off against the Twins, winning 7-6. In 10 innings. But we got to extras, tied at 3 apiece. The Twins scored 3 runs in the top half of the 10th inning. The Cleveland Guardians scored 4 runs in the bottom of the 10th, capped off by that 2-run walk-off homer off the bat of Cleveland's Josh Naylor for that 7-6 victory. A big win for the Guardians that needed some momentum. They entered yesterday having lost 6 of their last 7 games, the only win 2 days ago against Minnesota. So again, the 5th and final game between these teams is today. Shane Bieber on the bump at home for the Guardians. A day baseball game on this Thursday in Cleveland right now, greater than $1.60 favorite on that money line against Minnesota to wrap things up. So now Cleveland sits three games back of the Twins in the AL Central. Excuse me, correction there. Two games back of the Twins in the American League Central. And as we dive in to those divisional odds at the moment, it's Minnesota as your favorites, plus 105. All teams in plus money here in the AL Central. The White Sox continue to work back in this market and in the standings, still the second best price at plus 185. But as we shared earlier in the show, the White Sox falling to the Angels yesterday, 4-1 in Anaheim. They are now four games below 500, six games back of Minnesota for that third spot in the AL Central, now plus 185. Cleveland, two games back in the second spot at plus 310. So that game, a wild ending in 10 innings. It was the same for the Boston Red Sox up in Toronto against the Toronto Blue Jays. The Red Sox just trying to avoid a sweep against their divisional foe in Toronto, and they do that. They score three runs in the top of the 10th inning, and they hold on after Toronto scores two in the home half of the 10th. So the Red Sox avoid the sweep against the Blue Jays. They win 6-5 in extra innings. Boston entered this series against Toronto riding a seven-game win streak that ended early on against the Blue Jays. The final two games of this series against Toronto, both the same score, but 2 days ago it was Toronto winning 6-5. Yesterday, the Red Sox winning 6-5. So a big victory for Boston. And again, we keep an eye on the Red Sox and the Blue Jays in the American League pennant race because although they trail the Yankees substantially in the American League East, the third and fourth best records in the AL respectively for Toronto and Boston as of right now. We flip our attention over to basketball. Both the WNBA and free agency begins in the association today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Morning After, live on this Thursday on Sports Grid. A huge Thursday in the basketball world. I am Ben Stevens. It's a big, big Thursday in basketball as officially at 6 p.m. Eastern time tonight, free agency begins in the NBA. We have already begun the frenzy. Huge deals happening around the association, and we can expect plenty more to come. Some of the headlines that you need to know coming up in just a couple of moments. Before we dive in, though, to the offseason in the NBA, the regular season marches on in the W. A huge day yesterday in the WNBA, where all four teams at the top of the league faced off against each other. 1-4 with the Aces and the Storm. 2-3 in a matinee affair in Chicago between the Sky and the Sun. Let's begin out west. Seattle hosting Las Vegas last night. It was actually the Aces who entered yesterday as their top team in the W as a slight road favorite, laying 1.5 on the road, around minus 122 on the money line. So technically, the Storm pull off the upset, winning by double digits, though, 88-78 against Las Vegas. So a big, big win for Seattle. They sit in that fourth spot in the standings right now, two games back of both the Aces, and an update for that top spot. Tied in first now in the WNBA, the Chicago Sky alongside Las Vegas. Chicago is on one right now. The Sky, the reigning WNBA champions, have won four straight games, eight of their last 10, and they knock off Connecticut yesterday in a matinee affair, really afternoon basketball in the W, 91-83. Candace Parker, a double-double, 25-11. And again, the Sky have won four straight. So they are 14-5 straight up, as are the Las Vegas Aces. Both teams 14-5. Connecticut trails by a game and a half. They are in third, and the Seattle Storm two games back in that fourth spot. A quick update for you for those WNBA future odds as it pertains to the championship. Again, the odds follow the exact same order of our standings right now in the WNBA. The Aces, your favorites at plus 150, but they were plus 115 just earlier this week. Chicago closing that gap, the second best odds at plus 280. A team that we highlighted just a few days ago, the New York Liberty, 65-1 in the marketplace right now to win the WNBA championship, but the New York Liberty playing some really, really good basketball. They have won 7 of their last 10 games after starting off this season just 1-7 straight up. Sabrina Ionescu is starting to find her game in a big way for New York as well. They are a 4.5-point favorite at home today against Atlanta. This is a big matchup for how things will shake out in that bottom of the 8 spots that we will see make the postseason in the W. Right now, the Liberty in that 7th spot, 8-10 straight up. The Phoenix Mercury, who we'll talk about in just a moment, have that 8th and final spot at 9-12, but Atlanta is 8-11, technically only a half game behind the Liberty for that 7th spot as we see things in the WNBA playoff lineup. So a big, big game between the Liberty and the Dream today. Again, New York, a 4.5-point home favorite inside the Barclays Center and over-under that currently stands at 160 in a hook on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Speaking of Phoenix, battling with New York, Atlanta, and even Dallas for those final couple of spots in the WNBA postseason, the Phoenix Mercury for a 2nd straight game, taking advantage of playing the worst team in the league, demolishing yesterday the Indiana Fever, winning by 22 points, 99-78. They were a 11.5, 12.5-point favorite at home. They beat Indiana by double digits a couple of nights back. 2 straight victories for the Mercury. Again, they're in that 8th spot currently with a 9-12 straight-up record. So that's where things stand in the regular season in the WNBA. Now a tie at the top between Las Vegas and Chicago, rather, for those tied first spot in the WNBA standings at the moment. Again, the Aces, the favorites right now on FanDuel at plus 150. Regular season WNBA, that's a lot of fun. Off-season in the NBA, that's really where the drama begins. And it starts today, 6 p.m. Eastern time, a free agency frenzy that we can expect. And FanDuel's Brian Fonseca joins us right now. He is ready to go. Just had his breakfast. He's energized. He's geared up. And he's ready for the start of free agency.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, look, I told you, today is like Christmas if you're an NBA fan. It's crazy. It's one of the biggest days of the year. And you said it starts today, Ben. I just want to correct you. I mean, technically, kind of already started because, you know, teams are already – like, apparently, P.J. Tucker's got an offer waiting for him already from the Philadelphia 76ers, and things are going on. And, you know, it's kind of tampering, but it's not tampering, and it might be tampering. I don't know. But, look, today it's official that we'll start to see reports at the very least.
Certainly so. Technically, it has already begun. Tampering is a thing of the past in the NBA. Officially, though, at 6 p.m. Eastern time is when those contracts can be signed. We can get actual deals across the table. But it's not just free agency, Fonseca. It's also trades in the NBA. In a blockbuster deal yesterday, it was rumored starting last week around the NBA draft, first reported by Jake Fisher of Bleacher Report, a friend of the program here on The Morning After, and officially happening yesterday. DeJounte Murray of San Antonio, an all-star for the Spurs this past season, who averaged 21-9-8, is now on his way to Atlanta, joining the Hawks in return for Danilo Gallinari and 3 future first-round picks for San Antonio, 2 of those unprotected. So a huge, huge deal for both the Spurs, who now certainly are in that rebuilding effort that they will have in San Antonio. And DeJounte Murray joins Trae Young in the backcourt for the Hawks. Fonseca, where does that stack them up in the Eastern Conference?
We'll see, because it still looks like they're probably going to trade John Collins. He's still in trade rumors, and you would think that this is a little big three that they're going to set up. But the thing is, and I'm pulling up their contract situation right now, part of why they still want to move John Collins is because, as you saw, Danilo Gallinari's salary got moved to the Spurs. He might get waived, so that's part of the deal also. But then aside from that, you're looking at other guys who you're going to have to extend. Okongwu is coming up down the line at some point. DeAndre Hunter, they have to figure out his contract situation very soon, whether he's going to get an extension. And you have DeJounte Murray now, and part of why he's on the move is because I thought at least the Spurs didn't want to extend him. Then a report came out that he apparently wasn't going to extend with the Spurs. Clutch, I believe his agent is actually Rich Paul, informed the Spurs of that. So they made the trade and was like, all right, we're not going to keep him. and we're just going to get our picks or whatever the case may be. I think the Knicks should have very much been in on DeJounte Murray, and apparently they were, but I thought that letting him go to Atlanta was a mistake. But anyway, I think this puts Atlanta in a very interesting position. I don't think it's a perfect fit, but I think it's one you can figure out between Trae Young and DeJounte Murray. DeJounte Murray, not a great three-point shooter historically. You probably want a better three-point shooter next to Trae Young. That said, he could do everything else. I love him as a player, one of my favorite players in the league. Trae Young, we'll see what happens with that backcourt. Okongwu, I feel good about. Clint Capella, are they going to move him? Bogdan Bogdanovic, are they going to move him? There's another move that they can make. John Collins is the one I'm looking for now. There have already been some reported interest from other teams. One in particular that intrigues me is Miami, because he's from there, and teaming him up with Bam and Jimmy Butler is something that's appealing. Are they going to send him potentially to Minnesota and be the four next to Karl Anthony Towns? Like, there's a lot of possibilities, and that's what this is, possibility season. But I think with Atlanta, this is very interesting in terms of a starting point. And as they round out their roster around DeJounte Murray and Trae Young, how's that going to look?
Of course, the Atlanta Hawks, reaching the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years ago in the NBA, got to the postseason this year as that eighth seed before losing in five games in that opening round series to Miami. And my favorite phenomenon of the entire NBA regular season, Atlanta did not cover in a single loss. A lot of those booked as an underdog as well. It was a wild, wild trend in the NBA. I'm very intrigued by what Atlanta brings this upcoming year, because we haven't really seen Trae Young play alongside anybody that allows him to truly be off ball. I think DeJounte Murray presents that opportunity. I love where the Hawks are headed, and so does the market slightly, Fonseca, because Atlanta right now tied for the seventh best price to win next year's Eastern Conference title at 24-1 alongside the Toronto Raptors, but they moved up by $6 after the DeJounte deal yesterday from 30-1 to 24-1. Do you think that pricing and having Atlanta tied for the seventh best odds at 24-1, Fonseca, is fair for the expectation for the Hawks next year in the East?
Yeah, and it's also way too early for me to like really actually consider Atlanta as a viable like threat to win the Eastern Conference or anything like that. I also just want to point out, like, the Nets at plus 340. What are we doing? Like that, I'm just not going there. Like, I'm just not. There's no way I'm putting the Nets above the Sixers or the Heat. They should be probably around where the Raptors or the Bulls are. Maybe a little bit better than that, I suppose. But plus 340 is crazy. Save your money. Don't bet on that. But otherwise, like, yeah, Atlanta plus 2,400. I mean, you know, it seems about fair for right now. It's more of a, like, if you're in that 2,000 range where the Bulls and Raptors and Hawks are, it's kind of like you're in the wait and see range. Let's see what else you do this summer. And we know, especially after today, like, by the time we get to 6:01 p.m. Eastern time, things are going to be shuffling around a lot. I'm sure the Sixers are going to see some movement. I'm sure that the Heat and the Celtics, like, everyone's going to see some movement, except maybe Brooklyn, because they're still going to be one of the favorites, regardless of what they do. So we'll see what happens.
Snapshot these odds, because after we get to free agency today, they might start to move. We'll look at what that potential market mover might be and who might be the movers in the market when Fonseca comes back for a second straight segment to join us here. Tons of action in the Eastern Conference. We'll look at it next on The Morning After on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The free agency frenzy around the association officially begins tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern time. We look at all of the possible moves that might happen around the NBA live right here on a Thursday on The Morning After on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. For a second straight segment, I'm alongside FanDuel's Brian Fonseca. And Fonseca, we were focusing on the Eastern Conference first and foremost with the big deal yesterday. DeJounte Murray leaving San Antonio finds his way now alongside Trae Young in that Atlanta Hawks backcourt and what it means for those Eastern Conference odds. The Hawks moving up by $6, 30-1 to 24-1 to win the East. tied for the seventh best odds. The team with the fourth best price right now to win the Eastern Conference's upcoming NBA season, that would be Philadelphia, the 76ers at plus 750. In a little bit of news yesterday surrounding the man known as the Beard, James Harden opting out of his $47.4 million player option for this upcoming season, but for the benefit of Philadelphia, so he can take a restructured deal so they have more budget to go out and build up the roster in the city of brotherly love. What did you make of this news from James Harden yesterday?
I thought everybody was giving him too much credit for leaving some money on the table when he's still going to get like $100 million for the next 3 years. Because everybody was like, oh my God, James Harden, he dropped, you know, $10 million so that P.J. Tucker can, you know, get the full mid-level, whatever the case.
Yeah, but you know the saying, Fonseca, normal people just do the same thing and they keep life boring. Different people lead us to a brighter tomorrow.
That's excellent. That's an excellent, I would say, callback, but that happened this week. What a week it's been. Philadelphia, just organizationally, I have a tough time trusting them, but on paper, they're going to look very interesting, right? I need to see what moves they make otherwise, because it doesn't appear that Tobias Harris is still going to be on the team. If I'm them, I'm calling the San Antonio Spurs, who are just like, hey, you know, it seems like they're just going to take bad contracts and draft pick compensation and just try to, you know, play the season out with a young squad and potentially, you know, draft a Victor Wembanyama or Scoot Henderson in next year's draft. And Greg Popovich is just going to, I guess, not win another championship at some point. But, you know, I would give the Spurs a call and try to get Tobias Harris over there. But yeah, they have some roster construction things. A big part of their roster construction for me last year, and I guess the last couple seasons with them, is their lack of depth. And, you know, with a team led by Joel Embiid, an older James Harden, and if PJ Tucker is going there, he's going to be 37 years old and broke down at the very end of last year after playing just balls to the wall all season long. Then, you know, it's going to be tough, and the Eastern Conference is going to be loaded with the Bucks, Celtics, and Heat in particular are going to be standing in their way, and then the Raptors are going to be, I think, very tough. The Bulls, who knows, like, they've been a sneaky sort of Rudy Gobert going to wind up in Chicago, and then that's going to make them very interesting. And then the Atlanta Hawks, they have some roster construction stuff that they're going to work through, but they got DeJounte Murray now, and that makes them interesting. And are the Cavs going to take another step? And I haven't even mentioned the Nets yet, because I still don't know what to do there, but let's just mention them, right? So I think the Sixers are absolutely, like, they're going to be very interesting, but this is one of those wait-and-see situations for me. And then they just have, like, you know, Joel Embiid's been breaking down at the end of seasons, and James Harden, you know, in playoffs can be a little shaky, and it's like, I don't know if they have all the elements you can sort of trust there. The one thing that they do have also is Tyrese Maxey. And if he takes another step next season, that's going to be fascinating, because Tyrese Maxey looks like somebody who could be a future star, who also had some moments in the playoffs when other guys, you know, were struggling and or weren't really showing up, particularly in the Heat series. So Tyrese Maxey is one to watch for me, and that could sort of change things for Philly.
Fonseca, you are my friend from all the content we have done here together on Sports Grid. The one thing I want for you in this world is to find somebody out there that loves you the way the New York Knicks love Jalen Brunson. That is my only hope for you, because the Knicks continue to clear cap space to offer up a max contract for Jalen Brunson. It is truly Brunson or bust for the Knickerbockers. So my question to you, Fonseca, is why? Why of all of this love for one single man in Jalen Brunson?
Leon Rose was his agent. Leon Rose was his dad's agent. His dad is now a coach with the Knicks. I think his dad was Leon Rose's first client. Like, there's just a whole bunch of family ties here. And I think that, like, that's the thing that could be bothersome if you're a Knicks fan, is you're watching this and you're like, hey, is this about basketball? Or is this about, like, you know, keeping it within the family business or whatever the case may be? Is this a mafia signing? You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing here? It's 4 years and $110 million reportedly. And then out of nowhere, Chris Haynes reports yesterday, and it's Chris Haynes reporting it, so I believe it. Chris Haynes reports yesterday that the Heat have become some sort of mystery dark horse team in this Jalen Brunson thing, and they're going to meet with him. Yep. And if you're the Knicks, you don't want that. You don't want Pat Riley talking to the guy that you're about to sign, you know? So we'll see what happens there. I think that could just be business and just taking the meeting for the sake of taking the meeting. Ben, you and I know in this industry, you take the meeting. You know what I mean? Like, even in what we do for a living, you just always take the meeting regardless. You know what I mean? Unless you think it's going to be a pyramid scheme, in which you should not. But I don't think the Knicks are a pyramid scheme. I think Jalen Brunson is somebody who they're trying to build with. I just, for me, it's like, that can't be it. Like, it's like, all right, you got Jalen Brunson. You're paying a lot of money for him. Doubled what he could have made in Dallas at one point. And it's going to be, okay, so is the plan Jalen Brunson and RJ Barrett and Julius Randle? Are they going to move Julius Randle to free up things for Obi Toppin? Because that would make more sense. I think if you have all three of them guys, all lefties, by the way, you know, Jalen Brunson is leaving Dallas to get more usage, and he's going to be sharing the ball with Julius Randle and RJ Barrett, both guys who need the ball in their hand. Like, it can get a little bit clunky. And then Tom Thibodeau, you know, he kind of, like, I don't think he's necessarily going to, like, draw up things to free guys up or whatever, you know? Like, I think part of the reason he likes Jalen Brunson very much is because he's 6 feet tall and he can post up other guards really well. He's very crafty in the lane. He kind of reminds you of a 90s point guard. You know what I mean? He has an old school game, and I like him very much. I just think, you know, the way he's being talked about could be quite annoying. But I think he'll be interesting on the Knicks, but I still think they got to figure out the Julius Randle situation. And if he ends up going to Miami, because they would have to make that a sign and trade, and not with Kyle Lowry, apparently, with Duncan Robinson, because it has to be some sort of cap mechanic where it has to be half of what Jalen Brunson is making or whatever the case may be. I don't know. But if he ends up going to Miami, I don't know what that means for the Knicks. But I don't think that's going to happen.
And I think that's the point. I love Jalen Brunson. He had a point prop for most of the first two rounds of this past NBA postseason at 16.5 that he went over in like 8 straight games. He was one of the most profitable bets there was. I think Jalen Brunson is a really good NBA player, but the jokes happen because the Knicks are treating him like Kevin Durant just hit free agency. And it is wild to see. And when you look at the Knicks right now, 65-1 to win next year's Eastern Conference crown, the 5th worst odds to do so next year in the association. So how much does it help New York? That remains a mystery. Now let's flip it over to the Western Conference, Fonseca. Earlier this week, again, not official until free agency begins tonight, but after John Wall completes his buyout with the Rockets, clears waivers, it is expected he is going to sign in Los Angeles to play alongside Kawhi and PG with the Clippers. They moved up the market. Now the second best price in the West, just 10 cents behind the Dubs at +300. What does adding John Wall do for the Clips?
It gives them a point guard that Kawhi Leonard's reportedly wanted for a couple seasons. I remember a report either early in the 2019-20 season or 2020-2021 season, too many 20s, is that he wanted a pure point guard or a point guard to lead this team or whatever the case may be. And I think that John Wall, while last time we saw him, he was putting up numbers on a Houston team that nobody cared about. I think that he's going to be in a more ideal role here, setting up guys like Paul George, setting up guys like Kawhi Leonard, and then, you know, other guys on their roster throughout. Like, they had Norman Powell is there now. You have Robert Covington there. And, you know, they re-signed Ivica Zubac. Looks like they're going to lose Isaiah Hartenstein, but, you know, that's sort of the cost of doing business. And then the Marcus Morris situation is interesting. I kind of feel like he's the odd one out and that he might get traded at some point. But, you know, we'll see. I think that with the Clippers, they're a very interesting team. And +300, I think, is a little ambitious right now because I just want to see it first, especially for health reasons. Like, those are three guys with John Wall, with Paul George, and with Kawhi Leonard who you're going to bank on their health. And it's a little bit tougher to do that in 2022 than it probably was, you know, 5 or so years ago. But that being said, I think they're going to build a nice team around them. And then if we're looking at the Western Conference odds here, I just want to point this out. Memphis being at +1,000 is surprising to me. I thought they would have shorter odds. I thought they'd be in that +750 range or even shorter than that, given the love that they got last year and given what they did last year before the John Morant injury. I don't necessarily think they're going to win the Western Conference, but that's a bet you can play with. You know what I mean? And we'll see how they sort of reshape their roster, but I think they should be a little bit ahead of where the Nuggets and Mavericks are, I think, at this point.
And you can see there's a clear distinction between the top three teams in the Western Conference, including the Phoenix Suns, from the rest of the field. Phoenix right now at 5-1. A name to certainly watch throughout this free agency run is the big man in Phoenix, DeAndre Ayton. It seems right now that his ties with some of the biggest movers and shakers in the Phoenix organization are growing pretty thin. He will be a hot commodity in the marketplace, a restricted free agent as of right now. Fonseca, quickly here, only a couple of minutes left in this segment. I want to look big, big picture. NBA championship odds. We have four co-favorites for next year, including the Warriors and the Clippers out of the West and the Bucks and the Celtics out of the East at plus 600. As we get ready for free agency, later on this evening, 6 p.m. Eastern, officially the start time, which of these teams do you expect to be the biggest mover in the free agency markets?
The biggest mover in terms of like making a big transaction and shortening their odds, I think like it's very hard not to go with Miami here because I think they're up to something pretty big. I just don't know if it's going to be this summer or if it's going to be by February. So I think they could really shorten their odds here. And I think Memphis is the one to watch in the Western Conference, if I could pick one from each conference, because Memphis has the contracts where they can make something sizable happen as well, either now or wait until February. The difficult thing is, if you hard cap yourself now, that makes it much, much harder to make trades later on. So I think that some teams may just sort of hold off on the big deal if they can't really get it, and then, you know, see what happens during the season and try to make something happen in January or February. But I think that the Heat and the Grizzlies are teams to watch in terms of big time wheeling and dealing this summer. I think there are other teams as well. Like, I think the Celtics will do something. I think the Bucks will do something. I don't know if it's going to be as huge. I think it's probably going to be around the margins because they were very close. But I think in order to get over the hump, I feel like the Heat and Grizzlies are feeling the pressure to sort of do that. The Heat in particular, because they're a little bit older. And, you know, I think that they're gonna figure something out. I do.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting price on both of those teams. Miami, 18-1. They were the top overall seed in the Eastern Conference. They have reached the ECF two of the last 3 years. Memphis, the 2 seed, and it only seems like there's more promise in the Grind City. They're 21-1 and 10-1 in the West. FanDuel's Brian Fonseca, what a masterclass today. We thank you for your time. Enjoy free agency, my friend.
Yes, it's going to be great. I can't wait.
Christmas Day for Fonseca. We round out hour number one up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ending out hour number one of the Morning After live here on this Thursday on Sports Grid and Sirius XM Channel 159. Sirius XM Channel 159 is that home for Sports Grid Radio. That's where you've been listening and watching all across the Sports Grid Network. I am Ben Stevens. Thank you for joining us. We just went through that free agency frenzy with FanDuel's Brian Fonseca. The teams, the names, and the numbers you need to know for today when free agency officially begins in the NBA at 6 p.m. Eastern time. The summer months, the offseason for the NBA, that is really where a lot of the fun happens. So after we had a big trade yesterday in the association, not a free agency move, but a trade sending DeJounte Murray to Atlanta, we already have a change in the marketplace for this upcoming season in the NBA. So after DeJounte Murray goes and joins Trae Young in Atlanta, where does that stack up the Hawks in your mind in the Eastern Conference? We find out together in Fade the Public. So after trading for DeJounte Murray, an all-star this past year, a guy that averaged better than 21 points per game, better than 9 assists per game, and better than 8 rebounds per game as well, a walking triple-double at times, now playing with Trae Young, where do the Hawks stack up or where do they rank in your mind in the Eastern Conference? The four options laid out for you at Sports Grid TV on Twitter: top three team in the East, top five team in the East, just a playoff team, or still just inside that top 10. And most of the public saying Atlanta remains a playoff team, 38%, but the next closest option, a top five team in the East as well. I'm very optimistic on the Hawks, maybe outperforming themselves in 2021, reaching the Eastern Conference Finals, slightly lackluster in comparison last year. But we've already seen that movement in the market. 30-1 yesterday in the East, now 24-1 in the Eastern Conference, tied for the seventh best odds alongside Toronto. That, if you were to parse things out based on the odds, would make them a playoff team, as the odds indicate, in the East. Hour number two of the Morning After is up next. Join us after the break.